you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he had saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of us don't have to use our imaginations of what it feels like to be unwell and kept at a distance. In the last couple of years, many of us have had to quarantine due to having COVID or being exposed to COVID. And what these 10 men in Luke's gospel today have is very contagious, and they need to be quarantined. They need to be kept at a distance. The only way that they could re-enter the community is if they demonstrated that they are healed. As Chris Rupp puts it, something akin to a negative COVID test is needed and able to return to work after coming down with the virus. These 10 men must have heard of Jesus' reputation as a healer, so they cry out to him for healing. And Jesus sends them on their way. And on the way, they are healed. Their skin disease is cured. That should be the end of the story, because the healing in itself is important. We should not underestimate the restoration to the community that these men would have received now that they're healed. But Jesus is offering something more than what's skin deep. People sadly understand faith as something that once you have it, you're going to get something, as opposed to seeing faith as a response to what we've already received. To have faith is to trust. Your ability to have faith in someone, for example, is because of what they've demonstrated to you in the past. That gives you the capability to trust them in the present and the future. Our faith in God is in response to what God has given us already, which gives us the ability to trust God in the present and in the future. 9 of the 10 men don't seem to have that response to what has just happened, to what they've received. Now, it's important to note that Jesus doesn't put any contingency upon them for being healed. He heals them all. There's no strings attached. No condition, no transaction. He freely heals all of them. And in many ways, I feel that the 9 represent how we react to God far too often. When we are in great need, we cry out to God. But when everything in life is running smoothly, we don't think of God much at all at times. At times when we are sick and injured, you ever come down with something where you try to remember what it's like to feel normal, right? I know I have. And in the midst of that, I'm thinking, man, I am never going to take feeling better for granted again. Whether it be an illness or an injury. Sure enough, throughout my life so far, I've been fortunate to fully recover from whatever I've come down with. And I take it for granted the second I'm fully healed, the second I fully recover. The 10 all experienced something in common. They had a common illness that forced them to experience this quarantine, the need to be isolated from their community. Those of us would have experienced this not too long ago, quarantine, the need to be isolated, and felt the hardship and the separation from our friends and family. So the ramifications of physical illness affect more than just our physical being. But again, this separation and restoration that Jesus offers them is only skin deep. The lack of faith that the 9 demonstrate here is evidence of a separation that we have from God. Far too often, we fail to see God as the source of life. We fail to see God as sustaining us in this life. And we go about our lives putting our faith and trust in other things as a result. For we are reconciled to God not by anything we do, but by what God has done for us in Christ. Just like all the 10 were healed, without them doing anything, we are reconciled to God through the love poured out for us in Jesus Christ on the cross. The cross offers us a bridge to bring us back to God, where we are no longer separated, but in communion with God. For the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus, and Jesus shows us the Father, and then we're brought back into communion with the living God. As we heard in 2 Timothy this morning, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. It sounds like good news, doesn't it? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And it's the cross that demonstrates that faithfulness. When all 10 men had leprosy, they were in the thick of it together. I'm sure they bonded in their marginalization. But when they were all healed and they went back to life as it used to be, the 9 were probably welcomed fully into their community once they could demonstrate that they were healed. But it's the Samaritan, the foreigner, who probably realized very quickly, once he noticed that he was healed, that he still was not going to be fully integrated and welcomed. Where else was he going to go? Who was he going to turn to? He knew that there was one he could trust to fully heal and restore him to an ultimate place of belonging. And that one is Jesus. That in God's kingdom, there are no borders that can lead to alienation or exclusion. This foreigner turns back and praises God with a loud voice. He prostrates himself at Jesus' feet. And I see this as an act of worship, which should remind and affirm for all of us that worship is first and foremost giving thanks and praise to God for what God has done for us. Now, coming into worship this week, I invited you to ponder some questions. How have you experienced God's mercy throughout your life? What are the times in your life where you yourself have experienced exclusion? What are you grateful for? And how is God calling you to welcome and include others by sharing and embodying the love of Jesus? I hope as we continue to reflect on those questions that it draws us closer to God, and that the Spirit fills us with a need to offer our thanks and praise first and foremost, because Jesus is concerned with our whole being, that we are to be made well in mind, body, and spirit, and that that healing that we receive in Christ is more than skin deep. At our Wednesday meal this past week, one of our regulars was driving through, and our kitchen crew immediately knew who it was. They recognized the car and they recognized the person. Somebody went out to bring them the meal, and they said, "We saw you coming." And she said, "You know my name? You know my name?" This touched her deeply. And it's a testament to how when we share the love of Jesus, it's more than skin deep. The meal itself is important, as the healing of the leprosy is important. It fills her most basic need. but that experience of love, welcome, and inclusion, of belonging, that was filling a spiritual need. After the meal, I was sharing we had a devotion time with those who were serving. And I shared part of this devotion from Richard Rohr. When we start with big universal ideas at the level of concepts and isms, we too often stay there, arguing about theories, forever making more distinctions. At that level, the mind is totally in charge. It's easier to love humanity then, but not any individual people. We defend principles of justice, but can't muster up the courage to live fully just lives ourselves. It's easier to say that we're called to love all people, but it's harder to love individual people. It's easier to make proclamations about justice in the world, but it's harder to embody those principles of justice in your daily life. Yesterday, Saturday, we had our walk to end Alzheimer's. And it's in walking with those who are living with, who have succumbed, walking in support of those who care for those with the disease. It's in the vastness of those impacted who are crying out with a loud voice for help, for mercy, that we as a people would have the wherewithal to be committed to supporting them, to developing treatments, and even a cure with anyone touched by this disease. But you know what motivates people to get involved? Individual stories. You ask people why they're walking, and they talk about a person. Not the statistics that we see, all people affected by this, but it's a spouse, it's a grandparent, it's a sibling, it's a friend called to love and make well individual people that Christ puts in our lives. Look at the quilts that are draped around the pews. Lutheran World Relief will have statistics about how these quilts were used throughout the world. But each one of those is going to keep an individual person, or maybe a family of persons, warm when they need it. These are people created in the image and likeness of God. These are the people that we're called to serve, whether they come to pick up a meal here in Cardington or receive a blanket in Cambodia. Called to share that love, to make sure that all people are made well and have their most basic needs met, that the daily bread that God desires for all of us to have would break through, because our sinfulness and brokenness as a humanity prevent that from happening. So if we can regularly call to mind those times that we received God's mercy, that we ourselves have experienced exclusion, to remember how painful that was, or how gracious it was to be included, to be loved, to receive that mercy, may it motivate us to love individuals and not just the idea of loving all people and then saying, well, that's too hard, and step away. And in word and sacrament, when we receive the unconditional love of Jesus Christ that continues to feed us and nurture us with God's mercy, may we become what we eat. The body of Christ in the world, hungering for love, hungering to be made well. Individually and collectively, as we are made well in Christ through the work and love of Christ, our mission, individually and collectively, is to extend God's mercy to others. Our mission is to ensure that others are well, that all would have what they need and to be sustained in life. Our mission is to embody and to share the love of Jesus and offer them a foretaste of all that is to come. And it is a love without borders or barriers. It is a love that offers people a place that they belong to now, forever. Beloved children of God, we gather to offer our thanks and praise. Our God continues to feed us and bless us. So as you get up from this place and go on your way today, know that your faith, that faith given to you by the Holy Spirit has made you well. Go forth trusting the one who you will encounter along the way, the one who is faithful even when you are faithless. And as you go on your way, share the love of Jesus that offers spiritual healing, physical healing, that gives each of us, all of us, a place with God, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.